Drake. Fumo solo para quitar el estrés. I am here today with Alina Adisaka. She is a professional surfer from Brazil. She is a Salty Club ambassador. She's a full-on water woman and TV host. And she's also a coach on our Move with the Pros series. Alina, thank you so much for being here with us today. I am just so excited to jump in.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure and my honor to be here with this amazing group of aspiring women as well. And yeah, I'm super stoked to be sharing some of my life story with you girls.
Yeah, we're stoked too. So to start, for those who don't know, could you please tell us a bit about your background, a bit about how you got into surfing, a bit about where you're from?
Sure. I'm from Brazil and I grew up in a surfing town called Ubatuba. It's the north coast of São Paulo. And I come from a half Japanese and half Italian side of family, but they were all born in Brazil, but I do have a lot of mixed cultural background and of immigrant people. And my dad is the one that introduced me on surfing, and then later on my two brothers that are younger than me. And he met my mom in the beach, in the place that we pretty much grew up surfing. So being in the beach, being the ocean and surfing is something that has always been part of my life. And so it's very like, I think it's very, something very natural, something that is more like, it's really like my lifestyle. But yeah, and then my dad is the one that introduced me on surfing, and then that was like shortboarding and stuff. And then later on, and of course on this process, I had like uncles and, you know, people like, you know, dad friends and everyone always helping me out. But definitely my dad is the one that inspired me to and pushed me to start surfing. But it was always supernatural because I always loved the water. So I started swimming since very young and all that. So I was always in the water. Later, because there was a time in Brazil that we had no contests anymore. So between when I turned 18, I started competing like between 16, 17 kind of thing, but like under 18 competitions. And then when I turned 18, I moved to Australia to study English. And then when I was there for 2 years. When I came back here in Brazil, we didn't have more contests. So I was like, okay, there's no point to, you know, keep training for something that there's, you know, there's no competitions no more. Unless I would go for qualifying series or pro juniors, but out of Brazil, which was not the idea at that time. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just surf for, you know, for fun for now. And then in the meantime, we didn't have competitions. And before that, we had huge, huge competitions in Brazil, like huge. So it was just that time of the time of life that we didn't have no more. It was the worst
what
time
happened?
For surfing, I think.
What happened?
I don't know. I don't know if it's about like sponsorships and stuff for the contest, but it was like a few years that surfing was going like surfing, you know, surfing industry was not really good in Brazil. So I was like, okay, I'm not gonna, you know, train for that anymore. And then it was the time that stand-up paddle was growing a lot. And then I had friends in town that they were like kind of pioneers in stand-up paddling, and then they, you know, they invited me, oh, come, you know, just to support the, you know, the sport and the woman and stuff. And then before that, I've seen people surfing and stuff, but I was like, you know, no, I can't, I don't even want to try this because this is way too hard. But, you know, I knew that was something that was growing, but I didn't think I could do it. And then he insisted, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to give it a go. And then as soon as I started, I definitely, like, I completely fell in love with that because it was so hard. And then I was like, okay, wow, this is so hard. And the challenge of me trying to do it, you know, because when I saw that I could do it, I was like, oh, okay, it's hard, but I can do it. So the process of challenging myself and, you know, like facing my fears of like battling with my mind of like, no, I can't do it. And then I was like, no, now I can't do it. But then, you know, all that process of learning something new and completely different and hard, definitely it was what like caught me, you know. So when I first got my first wave on the stand-up paddle, it was like, you know, when we first get to wave on surfing, just surfing, it just feels, it's the most amazing thing. I think no one ever forget that. Yeah, like when we catch our first wave ever, like that feeling is something that is like, wow, it's just like there is no definition. It's just so amazing. And then I never thought that I could feel that again, you know. And then I did. I felt like not exactly the same. It was something that it was even bigger than what I felt first in my life, you know. So what I felt with the stand-up paddle was something that I was like, I think it clicked. You
know? Yeah.
And then from that, I just like, I would take my shortboard and my paddle, you know, to surf for trainings and stuff. And then I would always choose my stand-up paddle. And then, yeah, I started with a huge stand-up paddle, 9.6. And then a year later, I got 8.0. And then slowly that I got like sponsors for boards and stuff, I was able to do smaller boards and, you know, with more performance. And then, yeah, and then just doors started opening for me on the stand-up paddle. And we had a lot of competitions. And then years and years and years later, you know, with the whole Brazilian storm thing on surfing and, you know, the Brazilians doing so good with surfing now. And then after a lot of years, like many years, that surfing industry has grown again, like is back on, you know, on. So now we have contests and stuff again. But then it was like, it was already like, you know, I that time I was like over it. And I mean, I still, I'm still part of it, but now in different, you know, in different ways, I think. But yeah, also it's crazy because my dad, he created one of the biggest surf companies that Brazil has ever had, called Hawaiian Drift. And then I think he was not a competitor, you know, but I think because he was always so involved with the surfing community and always supporting athletes and supporting contests and stuff, and a surfer, just a free surfer. But I think because of that, you know, I think because of Hawaiian Dreams, me and my brothers, we didn't start early. We started surfing late. I started surfing when I was like 14, you know, and for competing, this is already late. But then we were always there, you know, always there on the surfing vibes and everything in the community. So I feel like, yeah, since I remember myself, I was always, you know, in competitions or boards and on the beach and stuff like that. So yeah, my family is everything related with surfing for sure.
And it's just so amazing that you speak about starting something new like stand-up, because, I mean, I'm nowhere near a professional or even at the moment a regular surfer, but it's, like, so easy to just get stuck on one thing and say, I'm this kind of surfer. I shortboard or I longboard, and this is just what I do. And I just think it's really amazing how open you are to changing and trying different things. You know, like we spoke about the other day, you're just about to go in a longboarding competition, you know, and you just came back from surfing Avalanche a few weeks ago. So it's like, that's something I find really inspiring about you, is that you're not too proud to be trying different things all the time and enjoying surfing in different ways, you know?
Yeah, I've been learning over the years, having this relationship with the ocean, that surfing is any kind of thing that you're doing, that you're riding waves. So you can be swimming, you're riding a wave. You can be just laying down, you're riding a wave. Like, you know, anything in the ocean, I feel like you're riding a wave. And I feel like surfing is everything that makes us be in the ocean and ride a wave in some ways. And because of what we were talking the other day, I found out that for me personally, I really push myself. I feel like I grow so much when I have to like face my fears, when I have to challenge myself on something. And the only way to do that for me, at least, it was like, okay, the only way to grow, the only way for me to to face my fears and to, you know, challenge myself was to get out of my comfort zone. And then definitely learning a new sport or a new thing is the hardest when you're already there. So, so definitely, yeah, things started going super good on kind of paddling, doors, you know, opening for me with like sponsors of the best equipment and, you know, just few other brands too. And then I was going in a good track. And then I forgot to also train my mind, I guess, you know, because I was so focusing on just the training, you know, physical training and stuff, the technical, that I forgot that training our mind is as important as the physical training. So forgetting that to, you know, to take care of my mind, and in this competition world is like, it's brutal, it's cruel. It can get really gnarly to be so focusing on that. And then I was so focused on myself, on, you know, on like, oh, I need to get results. I need to, I guess it's in anything in life, right? Like when we focus on so much in like, oh, I need to get results. I need to, you know, like just pressuring myself to, you know, perform good and all of that. And then I got in a really bad depression, but like nobody knew about it because I would never show that, you know. So I was always super like trying to be as professional as I could, like just smiling, cameras, interview, all of that, winning, losing, I was there. But it started to get something to me that I was like, I don't want to go, I don't want to surf anymore. You know, I didn't have, you know, that love that I had at first. I was like, something is wrong. So I had to like stop it all. And I was like, okay, I need to step back a little bit so I can, you know, step forward. Because in the way that I was going, I was, I don't know, that was going to be it. I never did a surfing trip just to go surfing for so long since I started competing, because, you know, traveling from Brazil for like world tour and all of that, it gets really expensive. So like if I would travel, I would travel to compete. I couldn't afford to go on a surfing trip. So at this, yeah, exactly, just for fun. So I was like, you know, I need to rescue why I started surfing. I need to rescue my essence, you know. And then I finished one world tour event in New York, and then on the way back I was like, you know what, I'm gonna stop in El Salvador because I've heard that they're good waves, and my brothers, they've been there and stuff, and they were always like, yeah, no, it's super fun, and all of my friends that have been there said it's fun. I was like, you know, I'm just going to stop there. So I'm going to stay there for 2 weeks. So, and I didn't know where I was going to stay. I didn't know absolutely nothing. So I got there, El Tunco. and then ends up that I stayed there for 4 months, changing my ticket 3 times.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This place, man, it does it to all of us.
This
huh?
place.
Yeah.
Yes, and then it's crazy because it was like so important, the time of life for me. It was so important because, you know, I was battling so much with my mind, with myself, with my purposes of life, with like, why am I surfing, why am I doing this? And then over there I was like, I took my watch off because I would always go in the water surfing looking, okay, 5 minutes, I need to catch a wave. Okay, 10 minutes. Okay, I only have 10 minutes left now to catch one more good wave. You know, always just thinking of heats of all competition and stuff. So it became so stressful, you know, that I was like, okay, I'm going to start over. And then I took my watch off in El Salvador and I was like, I'm going to go surf. I'm going to go surfing, you know. I was like, I'm going to go surfing now because I wasn't surfing anymore, you know. So I was only training for a contest. So I was like, I'm going to go surfing. And then from there, that I started surfing again, you know, no watch. And I think I was in a good, I think what I was thinking, that I was like, okay, I'm here rescuing my essence. I'm here rescuing, you know, my passion for surfing. and why I chose to have this lifestyle. And then from this thought, things started changing, you know? So it was like something that I had to change in my mind, something that I had to change the way that I was like, what I wanted, you know? So from this thought, it was so crazy because things started changing, you know? And then I started like feeling happy again to go surfing. I was, you know, blessed with amazing people around me. But everything started with something that I had to think about it. I had to put on my mind and be like, I want this, you know, I had to think of that, you know? So I thought of that and then things started happening. And then I was like, okay, this is why I surf, and just, you know, I rescued that. And then I was able to start over and see why I was doing that, you know, see that everything, yes, everything had a reason for that moment. And that no matter how hard it can get in our life, there's always a chance to change, you know, it's never too late, you know.
I think that's so brave, you know, especially when, like you said, when you're so used to competing and surfing in heats and having to like have some waves to show for each heat and checking your watch to really let go. It must have been so hard, and not knowing what exactly was going to come out of it, right? It's not like this productive thing that you get like a result, or you get, it's having this trust to be like, okay, I need to reconnect with one part of myself, and it's going to take some time. But I know just stepping back, but stepping away from that result space, even in surfing, it's scary, right? Because you're so used to like pushing yourself. So I think that's a really brave thing you did. And what's funny is like a reflection that Erica gave me about you. It's funny now you speaking about like getting impatient for waves, because she says now you are one of the most patient people she's ever seen in the surf. She said you will go out to the peak and you will sit there for an hour, 2 hours for a good wave if you have to. She says she's like on the inside just ticking off because she wants to get as many waves as she can. And she says, Alina, she just goes and she sits and she waits. And she just,
that's true,
anything. So it's just amazing how much it seems like that's evolved and changed, hey?
Definitely. And it's not something that you like, you reach that and oh, that's it. No, it's something that you have to push yourself every day in every situation. So it's like every time that I go out in the water, I have to like concentrate and be so present in that moment. Like, you know, okay, I'm here. I'm now doing this. This is what I'm living right now, and you know, this is what I'm facing right now. So yeah, I have to be able to focus so much on that, to be able to do the right way, you know, not just like just go out there and start like going crazy, catching many waves, and I don't know. And then, because then that would take me back to my, I don't know, how can I explain that? When you think, you breathe. When you breathe, you make good decisions.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. No, that definitely lands. And I think it's just incredible for you to talk about, because you have faced the like many times over, but in one specific situation, you have really had to trust this mindset, right? Because a few weeks ago, you surfed Avalanche, which has been called one of the gnarliest slabs in the world, right? And
yeah,
you can't do that without a strong mindset. Would you like to talk to us a little bit about that experience?
Definitely. Thank you. So yeah, Avalanche was also another crazy story. Because when we started talking all this conversation, I was like, you know, when I first started the paddle, I was like, no, I'm never going to be able to do that. And then I went indeed. And it was crazy because as I started learning new things, I was always like, you know, I can do it, you know, but yeah, it's going to take me probably a long time, no matter how long it's gonna take, but yeah, I'm gonna do it. So surfing like either like bigger waves and slabs and all of this, I would say more dangerous, maybe, yeah, more dangerous situations.
Oh.
You have to think, you have to be calm, you know. and the only way to think is when we breathe. It's crazy because when we're in panic situation or any kind of situation in a heat, if I'm nervous, I'm like, okay, just breathe, And then I start breathing. And then when I start breathing, I can think, you know, I can mm-hmm. process things better. So for all of this, first I was like, okay, I need to learn how to breathe. Because from there on, I can actually make decisions and I can actually think. So avalanche was something that I was like, okay, you know, am I going to put myself on the situation or it's my choice, you know? It was super last minute. My friends were like, you know, this is going to be last swell of the year and it's looking like it's going to be a huge swell and look, it's looking like it's going to be good. And then like, I haven't surfed. I wasn't surfing since I came back from the Maldives. So it was like a month that I was like, I haven't touched the water because yeah. I went to visit my grandma on the farm. So I was away from the ocean. So when I came back home and all of this situation showed up, I was like, okay, I've been out of the water for a month. I don't have a board. I don't have I don't have someone that is going to tow me in the waves. I don't know how I'm going to, I don't even know how to get there. I don't know nothing about this place. I just know that it's one of the most scary slabs ever. So, okay. And then we connected through a really good friend that has already surfed there many times. So me and my brother reconnected with this friend and he was like, okay, I'm going to connect you guys with the local bodyboarders because they are the ones that they found on the wave. They're the ones that, you know, kind of like take care of the place. And then we connected with them and then they were super, super open to me and my brother. And they were like, no, you guys just come. There's no space anymore on jet skis. There's no spots anymore on boats, but we'll find a way. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So I was like, okay, we checked out the flight. It was super expensive. Traveling in Brazil, sometimes it can get as expensive as traveling overseas. So wow. We're like, oh my God, are we going to do this? We have nothing right, like nothing. Everything is so uncertain, you know, and then we're like, okay, let's do it, you know, let's try, let's check it out, you know, even if we can get there in the channel and just look at the wave and see how it works, you know. I remember 11 a.m. we bought the tickets and 12:30 we were like flying to the airport because we live like 4 hours from the airport driving. So
oh my God.
It was like 1 hour thing. We're like, what do we have here? Okay, get a wetsuit, get a any kind of board, just whatever, just get everything we have, which wasn't much stuff for that kind of situation. Yeah, for the right equipment and stuff. And everyone was like getting ready, days and days of preparation and, you know, the equipment, the jet skis and everything. Yeah. And we're just like crazy. And then it was good because I talked to one of my masters, Alemão, and he was like, you know, I was like, Alemão, do you think, you know, is it too crazy if I go? Like, I'm afraid, you know? And he was like, go. He was like, go. And I was like, okay, I'll go. Because he's the one that got me in Nazaré for the first time. And then he's the one that, you know, I trust so much about this because he's worked with me a lot in my mindset. Straighten it as well. And then he was like, go. No, he was like, no, you go, you do it. And then I was like, okay. So we went there and then we ended up finding a way with the local boys to get in the spot, which is like, we're saying kilometers, probably about 4 miles, like in the ocean. So it's like very, you know, it's not close to the beach, like to the coast. So it's something that you need to get a boat and, you know, all of that logistic to surface lab. I was there for like hours and hours and hours just looking and I was in a lot of fear. And I was like, am I able to do this? I don't think so, but maybe it's not a time. And just all of the thoughts start like coming in your mind, you know? Mm-hmm. And then
how big and heavy was it on that day? Would you say, like, what were you looking at and what did it sound like?
Oh, I don't know exactly how big it was. But it was big enough.
I mean, anyone who's seen the photo will know that it was like a monster, but anyone who hasn't, because the thing about this slab is like how heavy it is, right?
Exactly. It's how heavy it is. Yeah. Yeah. It, and because it can get, if you wipe out in the wrong spot, you can get hurt very seriously because you, the leap of the slab is so, because it's like an oceanic wave. Yeah. It comes with so much power from the ocean. And then suddenly there is like this reef. And then right there, it forms the wave, but the wave is kind of like, it's kind of negative, you know, it's not like it becomes like a hole, like negative in the ocean. And then the leap just, it's just a thick leap that, you know, sometimes I saw waves there that, you know, like, I don't know, but a bus could be inside a barrel. Like it was just like, it's just so scary, like how the nature can do that. It was just amazing to see, you know, how powerful nature is. And I don't mess up with nature. I really respect the power of, you know, the nature so much. And I was like, okay, so where I cannot fall, like where I, you know, I was just thinking of what I shouldn't do. And then, you know, it reminded me of Alemão de Marés Dias. He always tell me, don't focus on the wipeout, focus that you're going to make the wave, you know? And then I was like, yeah, that's right. You know, I have to think what I want, because if I think what I do not want, that's what's going to happen. Yeah. Because that's the power of our mind. So I was like, okay, I'm going to only think how I'm going to make the wave, you know? So I'm going to make the wave. I started just thinking like, okay, if I go, I'm going to make the wave. And then I did not think of wiping out, because definitely wiping out over there, which I know, it's going to happen, you know, happens in surfing and stuff. But for that situation, I was like, I only want to catch one wave, and I'm going to catch one wave. I'm not going to wipe out. So after 5 hours, I had one of my good friends. I was like sitting the channel, and he was like, he called me and he was like, come, I'm going to tow you in. And I was like, okay, let's go, after 5 hours facing my fear.
Oh my God. Even just listening to you tell me this story, and I'm like comfortably in my apartment listening to it, like my heart is racing. Like you can't even like describe. And the fact that you're like, well, I just set my mind that I'm not going to wipe out, just shows you are so mentally strong, because even listening to that, I feel terrified. But anyway, go on, keep telling the story.
Yeah, no, it's crazy, you know, because our mind is so powerful that, you know, we can use this as, you know, to guide our life on whatever we want. So I was like, you know, shitting my pants. I'm sorry, but I was like, literally, you know, like, but then I was like, okay, everything that I learned, you know, my whole life, okay, just put in practice right now. First, okay, breathe, you know. And then I was like, okay, I started like breathing, and just the breathing, just like, okay, trying not to accelerate so much your heart, and then the adrenaline is like controlling the fear and controlling the adrenaline. Yeah. So I started breathing, and then I was like, okay, let's keep calm, because then I'm going to be able to do the right thing. If I'm not calm, I'm not going to do the right thing. So I was just focusing on, you know, be calm, be smart. And then my friend called me to tow me in. And then I had this shortboard. Actually, Maya Gabeira gave me this shortboard. It's a Tokoro, it's a 5'9", but it's for surfing, normal surfing. It was not a board for the slab. But that was the only shortboard I had with me. So it was hard, because I never towed in with a board without the straps on the foot. Mm-hmm. So it was, I was like, oh, I never told in this way. So it was like, okay, I had, you know, it was kind of hard in the beginning. And then my friends started like pushing me with the jet ski and then, you know, just a little practice. And then he tried to push me in one wave first. And then I fell off before getting the wave because I was not comfortable on the board. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not feeling it. And then Carlos Burle, which is one of the biggest names on big wave surfing too. He's one of my mentors as well. So he saw that I was struggling and then he came, he was with Lucas Chumbo. He came and he was like, here, use my, go with my tow board. It's the one that you already rode in Nazareth. And it's a board that I'm more comfortable with, you know? So I was like, oh, perfect. So I got the board and then I was like, okay, now I feel more comfortable. And then that's when my friend pushed me in, told me in this first wave. And obviously on this 5 hours before, I was asking the boys how to do the line of the wave and everything, because surfing a slab is completely different than surfing a normal wave. You have to have the right line and do the right moves. So I was just, you know, studying. I was pretty much studying this whole 5 hours before. And then when it was time, I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it what I've been watching. So first wave I got, I did not pull into the barrel because actually, if I pull in the barrel, I would wipe out very bad because it's not a perfect wave too, you know, like also it's like slab, it's like a huge monster wave and it's not perfect. So each wave, mm-hmm. you have to like read very well what that wave's gonna do, you know. But it was a monster ready. And then the end of the wave kind of got me in the end and like exploded me, but I was in a good place. So, you know, I had a little wipe out, but it was nothing serious, all good. And then on the second wave, I was able to get the barrel, but like not deep, you know, it wasn't like the boys were doing, obviously, like super deep barrel. I was more like, you know, almost outside, but I was like very on the door, I would say. But it was awesome. You know, I got a little moment off the barrel and then I was able to make it out and then explode into me again. And I didn't have a bad wipeout. And then I caught a wave and then it was so perfect because when I got it, it was so fast. I didn't even notice what I did. I was just like, oh, did it just, I was like, wait, what just happened? And then I had like my brother in the channel, he was sitting in the channel, and you know, other good friends of mine, they were riding the channel all like with their hands, like with the arms like up, just like, yeah, everyone was like yelling, all the boys were like screaming, and they were like, that was so sick. Everyone was like, you know, screaming, and they were like, you got a good barrel. And I was just like, did I? Did this really happen? You know? But so it was a press. It was such a gift because I was like, wow, you know, I set up on my mind that I was going to make it. And I did, you know? And all of that just, you know, turned to what I've been battling my life, surfing small waves, surfing big waves, just like the power of my mind, you know, the power of my mind, you know. So how important is what we think? Yeah. So Avalanche was a great experience. I definitely, not only because of surfing, that crazy wave, but also because, you know, all the process to not sleeping, just all that stressful situation to get there and traveling and not knowing what you're gonna expect and everything, just the unknown, like just the, you know, to explore something new. It's just like, okay, I am completely out of my comfort zone. There's nothing comfort here, literally, from no sleeping because we got there super late. Like I remember one night before the swell, we went to bed like 1:30 and 3 a.m. we were already up. I mean, we didn't sleep. We were not able to sleep. So all of that adrenaline and everything of the unknown, it was just like, wow, so crazy. And But it's great because not only because of the good wave that we caught there and, you know, facing this super huge challenge, but also because we met amazing, amazing local people from the area, and it's a place that I didn't know in Brazil. So I was like, I can't believe, you know, I travel overseas so much and I didn't know this part of Brazil. And it's just like, I didn't know that, you know, we had that quality of waves too. So I was so amazed that when I set up my mind that I was going to catch that wave, I set up my mind that, you know, that I was going to able to do it. Everything else around that situation that happened was only really good things, you know, not only because I was able to surf the wave, but the people that I met. And I was like, you know, this is where I surf, this is surfing, you know, like that's the feeling, you know, of sharing that this crazy thing that we surfers have. And, you know, people like us that love the ocean and the nature. And it's so amazing to be able to share this with other people that appreciate as much, you know.
Uh-huh, definitely. And I just love everything you said there, because, you know, so often we just see the photo of that moment in the wave and we just don't consider everything it took to get there. Like, it is so much planning, it's so much sacrifice. Like you said, it's so expensive, and like the wipeouts. And I just love that you pick up every part of that as part of the experience, because then you are picking up like life, right? And as you said, even exactly. The wipeout taught you just as much as catching the wave taught you, because how much of our life, like kind of earlier on in your experience, when you were talking about your depression and stuff, like how much we can just think I'll only savor it when I'm winning. I'll only savor it when I get that wave or when I'm at the wave. And then, you know, we have all these opportunities to meet people as we travel, so many opportunities to learn from waiting or to learn from wiping out. And I just love how you show so much gratitude for both like the wins, but also like such a deep and like such an honest view of how much work it takes, firstly on your mindset, and then how much time it can take, and also how much can be lost if we don't notice everything around us, right? Like all the other lessons around that leading up to that wave.
Definitely, because the most important things actually on this way is not the triumph. The most important thing is the process. You know, everything, how you just said now, you know, like when we look around, everything that is around us, the people that we meet, the places that we go, the, you know, the situations that we have to face it. And then all of this, and then, you know, all of this process that takes you to achieve something that you want. At the end of everything, you're like, okay, the result, it was not the most important. Definitely the most important thing is the process, you know, because the process makes you who you are. Like it's not winning, it's not, you know, catching the best barrel, or it's not just getting there in first place, you know, but definitely the process is definitely everything that actually teach you for life, you know.
Exactly. And that just translates to in the water and out of the water. Like, just for me, it really brings me back to, you know, I shared with you the other day that sometimes I can get so focused on the business, like being a certain way, or like being conventionally successful in terms of how many sales we make or blah, blah, blah. But then like conversation like these make me sit back and be like, I'm sitting here with you, like someone I find so inspiring. And I'm sitting with you on a Sunday, like hearing this incredible story, and we're going to have other women listening to this story too. And I'm like, this is it. Like, this is what it's about. You know what I mean? After like editing this, or like the work that it does take to bring something like this forward, if I was only concerned about the very, very end point, like I've lost the whole thing. Like, this is pure magic for me right now when I'm fully here and I'm present and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Or even the parts that aren't so enjoyable after. Like, for sure, like mindset work is so much work, like training, so much work, like flight, sleep deprivation, everything.
As important.
Exactly.
Yeah, as important, that's for sure. No, you just saying this just gave me goosebumps, because it's so powerful, you know. It's so real. And I think what I missed it, you know, like just having real conversations or being around real people. And I think in our life nowadays, it's just everything is so superficial, you know, it's all about how many followers you have or who you are or your status or, you know, how many titles or whatever. And you know, what I really appreciate about being with the Salty, and that's why I'm with the Salty Club, is because it's a group of really inspiring women, each one completely different from each other, but we all share the same purpose. You know, we're all being brave to search for our dreams, fight for our dreams, to live out of our dreams, which is harder, yeah, because we don't want to just achieve our dream, we want to live out of our, like, we want to be able to live our dreams, yeah. Meeting women like you just really makes me, like, you know, so happy just to be like, okay, yeah, you know, everything that I've been facing all my life, to be here right now, like talking to you today, you know, I know that I had to go through all of that to be able to be here today, you know, and mm-hmm. everything. And then it's just like, it was worth it. Everything was so worth it. And I know if I didn't go through everything that I had to go through, I wouldn't be here today, you know, sitting and talking to you about sharing a little bit of my story, you know.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I mean, for me, I think it's so easy to, like, feel like, I don't know, maybe things aren't happening quickly enough as I'd like. But when I zoom out and think of, like, the last 5 years of building the club, or just, like, changing my mindset, I'm like, mm-hmm. wow, like, it's a completely different story, really. Like, I think sometimes we can think things aren't changing or we aren't progressing. But then when you kind of zoom out and consider where you were a few years ago, like emotionally, like physically, like your mm-hmm. life set up, your friends, your circle, it's like, wow, you've come further than you think, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. Sometimes we forget and we focus a lot on the big thing, yeah, like, okay, the big result or the big money or the big you know, the big difference, or, you know, whatever. But, and it's not wrong. We work hard to get better things, right? But sometimes we do think to appreciate very, like, you know, very small things too that happen on the way of all of this, you know. And then you're like, oh, you know, sometimes when someone talk to you and share their story about, like, how inspired they got because of something you posted or because of something you said on, you know, or whatever, but it's like, sometimes just a little thing is like, wow, you know, like, it's as big as the bigger thing that we're thinking, you know, too much.
Uh-huh. That's exactly it. Like, I've had chills for the last 5 minutes, and I just want to say, like, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. And I'm just so
thank you
for our community to hear this. I mean, and get to know you a little better, and just everything you have to share. It's just, even just from a few conversations with you, like, I'm already working on how I can improve my mindset, how I can enjoy the smaller things, and also how I can push myself, you know? So, yeah,
so good.
Thank you so much for being here. And is there anything else you wanted to add or say before we start to wrap this up?
No, I want to just thank you. And I want to thank you for the opportunity, you know, to talk to me a little bit about my life, and whoever is gonna listen to this, just really say that our mind is really powerful. So, you know, we can do anything we want. We just need to think on what we want. Don't think in what you do not want. Just think and focus on what you want, and you're gonna get it. You know, I did, and I'm just a normal person as everyone else. You know, I have nothing more special than no one, you know. So if I did it, like, anyone can do it, you know.
Definitely. Aline, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you, girls. And yeah, I can't wait to talk to you again.